Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. In his message titled, A Question of Identity, Reverend David Williams tells us that it is easy to forget how we are all connected. Our world and everyone that we interact with shape us. We should not be frustrated with others. Instead, we should treat each soul that we encounter the same as God treats all of His children, with love. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. Our identity, our self, is so particular to us. Of all of the souls in the world, none is us. Of all of the billions of human beings, each of us so distinct and so unique. Yet in our uniqueness, we are nonetheless not isolated from others. It's so easy to assume that our gifts come just from us and that we are the source of all that we are. And when we do that, we forget that we are shaped by others, shaped by our connection and our relation to everyone who inhabits our world and everyone we connect with. It's so easy to forget how our gifts have been shaped by those who love us, care for us, nurture us, teach us, and raise us. Right now, let us bring to God the ways that we forget that we assume that we are the source of all things, where really we have been cared and raised and supported by moms and by fathers and by friends and by grandparents and by those who love and support us, the communities around us. Let's admit how easy it is to forget that. Let's do that through our prayer of confession and then in a moment of silent prayer, giving thanks for all who have cared for and nurtured us through life. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, there are so many different ways to come under understanding of you. There are paths of prayer and paths of service. Each of us bear different gifts, which you light up in different ways. And yet in our difference, we are all called to bear the same grace, the same spirit, the same love for one another. We choose to forget this, Lord. We choose to take our gifts and make them reasons to reject one another. We choose to take your blessings and turn them into reasons to feel superior or resentful. Forgive us, Lord, when we forget the path. In the name of Christ, please forgive us. In this time now, reflect in a moment and for a moment on those who have nurtured, sustained, and supported you in becoming who you are. Let's go to God in silent prayer. Hear now the assurance of pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. May the God of all mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from the Gospel of John. I'll be reading from John chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. You can follow along on page 104 of your Pew New Testament. Let's listen again for God's holy word. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When do we become us? When do we know who we are? When does our identity become the I that we know as ourselves? And when do others become them? I've been thinking about that a bunch this weekend, about identity and time, as my wife got her primary Mother's Day present, which was the boys came home. That's the main Mother's Day present when the little ones are little and they've wandered away. So there they were, both of them, our two pups, singing and making a mess, and suddenly there are dishes piled up in the sink. They just haven't been piling up recently. Don't know how that's happening. And it got me to thinking this week about all of those Mother's Days that have passed, about how every Mother's Day used to be marked with these scribbled, handmade cards written with sentiments in barely legible handwriting. Although, honestly, that's not all that different now. I mean, the handwriting is still not legible. This is not a skill set of their generation. But it is different. It's different in the morning. They get themselves up and they do things and they move around and they travel places, and Mother's Day was different. They were different. They were tiny. You know, these tiny little critters, and you'd get them up in the morning and the goal would be to get that Mother's Day breakfast made, and you were trying to trust them with a coffee maker, which you didn't really trust them with, and they were trying to make eggs. And eggs were kind of getting all over the place. And Mother's Day's always on Sunday. So you're trying to do all of this before rushing out of the house to the thing you have to go to. And it really was always a little stressful. And they were different, these bustling little sparkly, excited creatures. Once you got them awake, and once you stopped them fighting with each other about who got to bring the tray into Mom, and that's so different than now, where I leave and I can hear my older son's alarm, which he has set to wake himself up so that he can be there for Mom. Whether he actually got up or not, I don't know. He's 21. I'll hear that story later. Are these the same kids? I mean, they're so different than they were. They're so different. And yet, they're the same. I mean, how is it that the two young men are the same person as these children? I mean, some of it's exactly as it was, the prickly pear exterior around the soft, sweet heart of my older one, and the endless sparkles on the water sociability of the younger one, who can never stop chattering and glad-handing, and that was true when he was three, and it's true now. But they're so different. They're so different. I mean, they're different physically. I noticed that change mostly. For some reason in my shirt drawer, I still have one of Sam's threes class preschool shirts. I don't know why I keep it there. I don't know how it ended up there. It was some laundry error like a decade and a half ago, but I can never get rid of it. It's not, I just can't. And here's this little shirt that looks like it would, it's supposed to be on a child stuffed animal, not on this like close to 6'3", not small at all human being who now sleeps in the same room when he comes home. They have so much more life that they've lived, and they've been shaped by it in ways that are beyond both my wife and I, shaped by learning, shaped as they've developed skills and their gifts, shaped by relationships. They've been formed and molded by triumphs and failures, by friends and lovers and joys that we weren't part of, and heartbreaks that we only saw from a distance. These little boys who bustled around trying not to spill coffee on their mother are the same men. And yet they are and they're not, and it feels like they must be. There's somewhere in all of that change, they are the same person, the same essence, the same soul, even in all of that difference. Identity, finding personhood, understanding the core of who a person is something we do, but if we think about it a lot, if we overthink it, which we as Presbyterians should do with all things, if we think deeply into it, it's just so strange. So strange, this sense of what makes a person, and what gives a person their core. And that is what John's gospel talks about when it shows us Jesus. The whole purpose of this gospel, which our adult Bible study is looking through now, is to teach us who Jesus was at the essence of him. And the story today is another one of those examples as he tried to show people who he was. He's in the temple, we hear, giving us details, which John does. John is either giving us these complicated speeches of Jesus or showing us very intimate present details. Here we hear he's in the portico of Solomon. This is inside the temple. What is a portico? Portico. Anyone? What is a portico? It's kind of a porch. It's more a long covered walkway with a roof supported by columns. So if, as a University of Virginia graduate, if anyone ever been to the grounds and the heart on the lawn, and then these rooms are all connected by this long walkway, it's just the best, especially in the summer. That's what that is, just this long walkway with entrances. And so he's there, and people are walking with him, and they are struggling with him. As they struggle with him throughout this gospel, are you the Messiah? Who are you? You keep telling us these weird things. Who are you? How long will you keep us in suspense? They ask. Although, if you go to the Hebrew, what they're really asking him is, until when will you hold our souls? Which is kind of a weird saying. How long are you going to be holding on to our souls? Which is an ancient idiom. And it basically means, when are you going to stop annoying us? When are you going to stop teasing? Stop with the teasing. You got your grip in us with this thing, and you're not giving us an answer, and we keep asking, and you keep saying weird things. And so Jesus does for them what he does throughout most of John's gospel. He replies very simply, but in ways that may not clear things up necessarily for his listeners. He gets back to talking about sheep and eternal life, and then about his relationship with the God he called Father. And I realize that this is a little complicated on Mother's Day. If he'd said Mom, maybe this would be like the perfect passage and everyone, but you know, let's just, we'll work with it, given where it is. He lays out a dynamic of a relationship that completely blurs this sense of distinction between himself and God, that blurs the sense that there is a difference between him and the Father, going as far to say, I and my Father are one. I do not hear that from my kids. I do not. Whenever they see similarities, they're like, oh no. But it means Jesus is saying something important about the dynamic of how his identity is shaped. It is shaped in a relationship. It is so formed by relationship that he is defined by that. And that's a little confusing for us because we tend to think of persons as completely unique and distinct from one another. People are individuals. But that's not how John describes Jesus or the relationship that Jesus has with God. Jesus is wrapped up with and present with both God the Father and the Spirit, which is described later in this gospel, so much so that they're clearly different, but they're so tightly interwoven, you can't tease out the difference. Jesus says, I'm holding on to something that I'm holding on to, but God the Father is holding on to. And this whole thing is so blurry. I mean, even trying to describe it now, you sort of get the reason those Judeans are troubled by Jesus. Why do you're saying these simple things and we don't get it? And you know, I was like, Jesus, when are you going to let go of our souls? The answer, of course, is he won't. You don't want him to. But the core of this teaching reminds us that even though we as human beings like to create these neat categories in the world, tight lines of demarcation that frame us and structure our world, and that's all very convenient, we are bound together and connected to those who love us and sustain us in ways that transcend that. And we can forget it. We can imagine ourselves completely distinct from those around us. We can let ourselves fold in with these barriers that we set up around ourselves. And that never helps. Because it's not real. It's not the way we were formed and shaped. All of us came out of relationship with others. All of us are continually shaped by those around us. And when we forget that, we fall into places of bitterness, the kind of bitterness that divides and separates and that defines the life of those who don't see connection to others as existing, the zealots and the absolutists, who don't see that they are connected to everyone around them. We can see the fruit of that in the world around us, and how it breaks us apart. On this day, as we remember our connection to those who gave us birth, of whom we were actually a part at some point, it's good to remember the depth of that kind of connection, that sense of oneness that we can have with those who help us define our purpose in the world, who help us find our place and understand that self, that soul that is us, both so present and so hard to define. as we live into our relationship with this Jesus, who is so frustrating and so inspiring and so frustrating again and then inspiring and then frustrating. Let that connection that he has over our souls be one that is life-giving, always shaping and forming our identities so that we are continually becoming deeper in connection with his teachings and his gospel and his self. He's not us, but we are shaped by him. Just as we are not fully those who gave us birth, but we're shaped by them too, and by every one and every relationship we have that forms us. On this day and always, let us honor that connection and see how it helps us remember that we are connected to one another always in the love of the God that made us. Let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
It's so easy to forget how connected we are to everyone around us, and how every interaction, every moment, every exchange shapes both us and those life connects us to. And today, in remembering our love and our care for those who gave us birth, for our moms, it's helpful to remind ourselves that that depth of relationship can shape how we treat others. I love my mom. I don't love driving with my mom. My mom is so slow. And she hugs the edge of the road and tootles along. You ever get stuck behind someone who's going way too slow on a river? Does that ever happen?
Just noise.
Yeah. Every single time that happens to me, if I'm in a hurry, it tends to. And that's just noodling along. Your first thought is frustration. This person is in my way. This person is an obstacle to my life. And the second thought I will have to correct that is, that's my mom. It isn't. Could be an older Asian gentleman. It doesn't matter. That's my mother. And I should treat that soul as I treat her, because how I treat them shapes them and it shapes me. If I go zooming around, like, that shapes me and it shapes them. Every relationship should be as loving as that one is. And as Jesus reminds us of the importance of that connection in shaping our identity, that's what we need to hold on to as we go out. Go out into the world and love everyone with that deepest of loves. That is what we are called to do each and every day. Let's go out and live that. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us, today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.